Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Please fasten your seatbelts. We're heading off on a worldwide accessibility tour with information provided by Global Accessibility News. We'll be stopping off in Norway, Turkey, India, the UK, Vietnam, and maybe even Kuwait if we have any time. And with any kind of luck, we'll end up right back here in the good old USA. So happy travels. Here we go. The first article in this trip around the world comes out of Norway, and the dateline is mid-December of this past year. The headline tells us, new super smart phone makes communication easier for people with vision disabilities. A few years ago, Richard Chan's mother had a stroke and became physically disabled. She was living in England while he was in Norway. After the stroke, it became difficult to communicate by phone. On one occasion, she fell and lay helpless for several hours, unable to call for help. Richard Chan, who is a telecommunications engineer, began to wonder if there was a type of phone that could make communication easier and also make the lives of its users safer. Since he couldn't find anything on the market, he began to work on developing a new product himself. In the summer of 2015, he contacted Sintef, S-I-N-T-E-F. He wanted to find out whether they might be interested in conducting a user study of the concept. Now, here's a note from me along this way. Now, I have no idea what those initials stood for, but I checked with Wikipedia, and Sintef, S-I-N-T-E-F, is headquartered in Trondheim, Norway. It's the largest independent research organization in all of Scandinavia. It was founded in 1950 with its parent organizations being the Norwegian University of Science and Technology and the Norwegian Institute of Technology. And now the article continues with a quote. Chan's proposal immediately captured our interest because it was a great welfare technology system, said researcher Hanna Opsahl Austed of Sintef. The project received funding via the Norwegian Regional Research Fund System, and 1 year after the Easy Smart, that's what they call it, Easy Smart project was launched, project manager Austad has a new system that has been tested by numerous users, most of them elderly, but also some people who are blind or have Parkinson's disease. Austad shows me the Easy Smart phone, which in practical terms is a phone case fitted with physical buttons. The plan is for the case to be suitable for a variety of Android smartphones, but at the moment it is only available for the Samsung S6, A3, and S4. The buttons are ergonomically designed in the shape of small saucers, which makes them easier to use, even for people who may have trembling hands or have trouble with their fine motor skills. A quote. One person in the user group has Parkinson's and finds it really easy to type messages on the Easy smartphone, says Austad. People who have minor problems with fine motor skills also enjoyed using the case. Austad explained that one of the users who had been using a standard smartphone was extremely happy to switch to the Easy Smart because he no longer gets locked out of his mobile banking after mistyping the password. Raiden Gully, age 70, has been using the Easy Smart for 2 months now. She is part of the user group and has invited project manager Austad and the inventor Chan to her home in Roa. She said, "Before I started using this, I had an ordinary mobile phone. As an older person, when you start using a smartphone, you already feel quite clumsy. Being able to use a physical keyboard felt more familiar and simpler," says Gully, sitting on her sofa, typing a text message to her friend. Gully is a physiotherapist and has worked with stroke victims and people with neurological illnesses, so she knows how difficult it is for these people to use smartphones. A touch screen keyboard is not suitable for everyone. Gully also really likes the extended GPS function, one of its applications. Chan has developed for the Easy Smart And she explains that if she is out for a walk, her husband can send a text message and will then receive an automatic reply containing a link showing him where she is on the map. She can also easily send her position by herself via a message, or she can trigger an SOS alarm that both sends her position and phones pre-selected contacts with the speaker activated. And a quote, "I really enjoy walking in the rugged terrain, and these functions give me extra safety and freedom," says Gully. The ICE is another application, ICE, which stands for In Case of Emergency, is another application that Chan has developed. Users can easily enter important information into the ICE app, such as insurance information and which medicines they're taking. You can take a photo of the medicines, which will then be entered into that app, the ICE app. SOS and ICE, these are the two extended GPS functions, SOS and ICE, are both easily accessible with the large buttons. And a quote, "We have also found that all the users in the project have derived great enjoyment from the benefits offered by smartphones and have started to use many applications like the camera, the weather forecast, map, newspapers, and others," said Austad. Austad has also looked at the current selection of smartphones, specially designed for the elderly. The quote, "The problem is that these phones tend to lag behind the technology. Because they are products designed for a small group, they generally have poor technical specifications and have less money spent on them than standard phones. This applies to features like the camera and the screen. We have found that these are functions that are important to our test users," she says. Austad talks about her experience with the Easy smartphone being used by one of the people in the user group that's blind. A quote, "She likes the keyboard and combines it with a text-to-speech app to hear what she has written. She particularly likes the option of navigating through the text with the keyboard." A quote from the blind lady, "I sit and smile every time I use this function." This is a quote from Austad from the lady who can't see the keyboard. Chan contacted the Norwegian Association of the Blind's Visual Impairment and Skills Development Center at Hurdal for their opinion, and they thought that the Easy smartphone could bring many benefits to people who are blind or have low vision. Chan has plans to develop more features that would be particularly suited to this user group. A quote, "Many people with mild disabilities have been left behind by technology. In a commercial world, this group is not interesting enough, so there has been no investment in developing products for them. That triggered something in me," says Chan. And then Austad finishes this part of the article by saying, "It's about giving people the chance to use the same platforms as everyone else. A smartphone makes it easier for people to communicate with the outside world and enhances their quality of life." This was a quote from Austad, who is the project manager, Hannah Austad. Well, next, we're going to Turkey, and the article states, "Guide Dog Association aims to help people with vision disabilities." This article was written in the middle of November this past year. The article is accompanied by a picture of a very dapper guide dog wearing a fashionable Black Watch plaid raincoat. The article starts out, "Guide dogs, commonly used by people with vision disabilities around the world, making their lives easier, are now set to help people with disabilities in Turkey." The Guide Dog Association is a Turkish organization founded back in October of 2014. The group aims to help people with vision disabilities find a faithful friend. It provides specially trained guide dogs to people with vision disabilities in Turkey free of charge now. The association became an official member of the European Guide Dog Federation within just a month of its establishment. Furthermore, an event to raise public awareness about the benefits of guide dogs was organized and held on November 26th. It was called the Fall Ball, and it took place at Istanbul's Marriott Hotel in the Sicily district with the participation of prominent figures from the business world, politics, and diplomatic circles. The UK's ambassador to Turkey, Richard Moore, and his wife, Maggie Moore, also attended the ball in support of the initiative. The president of the association, attorney Nerdenez Tunser, stated, "We aim to help people with vision disabilities with guide dogs. These dogs, which have special training, can help them increase their mobility and complete many of their day-to-day tasks. As we raise public awareness on this issue, we will be able to reach out to more people with low vision and help them by providing guide dogs free of charge." Now we'll head on down to India. The headline tells us India will host T20 Cricket World Cup for people with vision disabilities. This article was printed in the middle of November of last year. Mumbai is the dateline. India is to host the T20 Cricket World Cup for people who are blind at 9 different centers from January 31st to February 12th, coming up really soon. Pakistan is among the competing teams. The opening game between the host, India, and the West Indies is to be held at Delhi, while the final is to be conducted in Bengaluru, as per the schedule released at a media conference by chief guest and former India captain, this captain of the cricket team, Dilip Vensarkar. The tournament, to be organized by the Cricket Association for the Blind in India, according to its president, G.K. Mahantesh. Vensarkar, on his part, invited the organizers to conduct all the matches in Mumbai to be hosted by the Mumbai Cricket Association, or the MCA, of which he is, by the way, vice president. A quote, 4 to 5 years ago, I was the chief guest at the National Championship for the Blind in Lucknow. It was a great experience for me. I batted normally against one ball and then batted against the second with my eyes blindfolded, and I found it difficult to connect, said the 116-test veteran. He continues, I had seen fielders dive here and there and taking brilliant catches. It was amazing for me to see, he said. The MCA, the Mumbai Cricket Association, will be happy to host all the matches. We have 4 grounds where the matches can be played in South Mumbai. It will be a small contribution to cricket for the blind from all of us, he stated. Another quote, Rahul Dravid, former India batting stalwart and currently under-19 and A-team coach, is the brand ambassador. I hope it's a grand success, Vensarkar added. Asked about the presence of Pakistan, Mahantesh said that they will land in Delhi, play matches there, and play their remaining matches only in Bengaluru. A quote, we would like to play against Pakistan. By then, when the tournament arrives, things such as bilateral relations should be better, he said. The other teams in the fray are England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal. Matches will be held in Delhi, Mumbai, Faridabad, Gujarat, Kochi, Bhubaneswar, Andhra Pradesh, and Bengaluru. Okay, next we have from the United Kingdom, the UK. The headline reads, London Transport unveils a badge program for persons with invisible disabilities. This article was published at the end of December immediately past year. The dateline is London. Badges, reading, please offer me a seat, are to be introduced for passengers with invisible impairments who may find it difficult or impossible to ask for a seat. This is according to Transport for London, TfL. This badge could be very useful for many persons with an invisible disability. Another group, Transport for All, the first one was Transport for London, this one's Transport for All, receives feedback from persons with disabilities who struggle to get a seat on the tube or buses because people say that they do not look like a person with a disability and they don't need priority seating. The truth is that they often desperately need it. This badge could minimize embarrassment that many disabled people feel when asking for a seat. A few months ago, the TFA, that's Transportation for All, published the testimony from Claire Lindsay, from a group called Thoughtistic, who explained how difficult it is for her to get a seat. She says, I have autism, but I don't look autistic or disabled. I need assistance when I travel on trains or the underground. Once I get a seat, I end up spending a lot of time defending my entitlement to it. I have to put up with remarks such as, "She should give up her seat for someone who's really disabled." Well, this causes me extreme anxiety, and I always end up getting off the bus early and walking the rest of the way. At that time, Claire said that she would like to see a priority seat badge in order to take away some of the confrontation that happens when you have to approach other passengers. She explained that she started to wear a badge that said autistic, so that people have a visible clue to her impairment. She said, "I have had more positive reactions since then. This badge will make it easier for me to get a seat, where before I would have to depend on staff to ask for me," she added. Some 1.34 billion passengers use the London Underground network every year, with an average of 284 seats per train across all London Underground lines. The TfL, Transport for London, says they will be the first European transport provider to officially support those with hidden impairments in this way. Transportation badges. Next, we will go to Kuwait. No, we're going to skip Kuwait for now. We're going to see if we can get back to that later. We're going to go right to Vietnam. The headline says that Ho Chi Minh City will help students with vision disabilities with Braille books. This article came out at the end of November. Library staff at the Ho Chi Minh City University of Social Sciences and Humanities plan to develop audio and Braille books for students with vision disabilities at the university. The books are one of four initiatives chosen for grant funds from a project designed to help university students with disabilities to access education carried out by the HCM, that's Ho Chi Minh City, Disability Research and Capacity Development Center, which is the DRD, the Disability Research Center. This is under the sponsorship, I can't figure this one out, sponsorship from the Embassy of Ireland. Boy Thee Hang, director of the Library and Information Center at University of Social Sciences and Humanities and the initiative's team leader, said that the university has 10 students with a visual impairment. Because of this disability, these students cannot access documents at the library, Hang said. Currently, they just learn and do their research by hearing and writing down what the lecturers say. Moreover, they access the free source of documents on the internet, but many of them are not verified, she told Vietnam News. Many of them take the initiative by going to the library, but there are no audio or Braille books in the library to serve them, she added. In the initiative, the library's staff will also be trained to guide these students in how to effectively use the library's documents, Hang said. It is expected that the audio and Braille books will be available next January. Another initiative of lecturers from the education faculty at the University of Social Sciences and Humanities that has been provided funds. This group will provide psychological counseling and other assistive services in learning for students with disabilities at the university. Li Thien Di is its group leader. And she said at the education facility, a counseling and assistance room for these students will be open, she said. Two other initiatives of lecturers and staff at the University of Education include developing a Braille map for students with visual impairments so they can learn the way to their classrooms, and providing, they will also think about providing an assistant for students with disabilities at the university. They also provided learning aid devices and volunteers who are ready to support their learning. It also aims to improve the awareness of university staff on providing necessary assistance to students with disabilities. Moreover, students will get support in seeking internships or jobs after they graduate. Lu Thien Lone, the center's acting director, said that students with disabilities in the country still face many difficulties in learning at universities and colleges. For instance, the infrastructure there is not accessible for them. According to the 2009 population and housing census in Vietnam, the country has 6.1 million people with disabilities age 5 and above. This is 7.8% of the total population. Of them, less than 1/10 of 1% study at universities or colleges. This article from Vietnam came out of originally Ho Chi Minh City, where the universities are located. Next, we will go, let's go back to Kuwait now, see how much we can get through with that article. The headline reads, before I start it, this article actually came from a couple years ago, but I still think it will give us some valuable insight. The Third Arab Blind Forum kicks off in Kuwait. This happened on February 9th, 2015. The Third Arab Blind Forum kicked off here Saturday with a large Arab participation. The Third Arab Blind Forum sheds light on their problems and ways of solving them, Chairman of Kuwait Association of the Blind, Fayez Al-Azmi, said on Saturday at the forum's inaugural speech. The forum coincides with the country's national celebrations. This was in February, and affirms the great status that His Highness the Amir Sheikh Sabah Al-Ahmad Al-Jaber Al-Sabah, the Amir, enjoys due to his care for people with disabilities, including people who are blind, Al-Azmi said. Due to such care and humanitarian efforts, His Highness the Amir was honored by the United Nations, who proclaimed him a humanitarian leader, he added. And this, again, is from Kuwait, way back in 2015. Since the establishment of Kuwait's Association of the Blind, the KAB, in 1972, it has been working on integrating blind people into the Kuwaiti society and easing difficulties that they are facing, he noted. The association took part in all the events organized, either inside or outside Kuwait, in order to improve the services offered to people who are blind and to help them cope with technological revolution that the world is witnessing, he said. This forum is an opportunity to tackle challenges facing people with vision disabilities in Kuwait and in all the Arab countries, he pointed out. The event focuses on upgrading and improving technological, financial, and cultural levels of the blind, noting that this move has had a positive impact on their creative abilities as well. The event, he said, focuses on finding solutions to meet the aspirations and hopes of people with vision disabilities in Arab countries. Well, this sounds like a wonderful conference, but you know, I realized it was well over 2 years old, the information in the last conference, so I did some research online. And this was a report that you heard from the Third Arab Blind Forum in Kuwait. After all my research, I could find no mention of any more recent Arab Blind Forum since this one in 2015. I'd like to know what happens to that. What happens to the people in Kuwait who really needs some help? So to finish up this tour of the world, I will bring you right back home to the good old USA. The headline reads, Justice Department revises regulations to require closed captioning and audio description for people with disabilities. This headline came out in the middle of the end of November this past year. The Justice Department announced an Americans with Disabilities Act, an ADA Title III regulation to further clarify a public accommodation's obligation to provide appropriate auxiliary aids and services for people with disabilities. This final rule provides that public accommodations that own, operate, or lease movie theaters are required to provide closed captioning and audio description whenever showing a digital movie that is produced, distributed, or otherwise made available with these features. Title III of the ADA requires public accommodations to furnish appropriate auxiliary aids and services, where necessary, to ensure effective communication for people with disabilities. And the department has long held the position that captioning and audio description are auxiliary aids required by the ADA. Well, despite this obligation and the widespread availability of movies with these features, the department has received numerous reports from the disability community indicating that neither closed captioning nor audio description is universally available at movie theaters across the United States. The department intends to publish the final rule in the Federal Register in the near future, and the rule will take effect 45 days after publication. And I was not able to find out when or if that has been published or when it's going to be published, so stay tuned on that one. And then we have a quote, the disability community and movie theater industry provided comprehensive insight on this important regulation, said Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General Vanita Gupta, head of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. And continuing, the Justice Department's regulation establishes a nationally consistent standard and ensures that in theaters across this country, people with hearing and vision disabilities can fully enjoy watching movies with their families and friends. In addition, the final rule requires movie theaters to have available and maintain the equipment necessary to provide closed captioning and audio description so that it is delivered to a movie patron's seat and available only to that patron. Movie theaters are also required to notify the public about the availability of these features and have staff available to assist movie patrons with the equipment. Okay, here we go. A few disclaimers here. The requirement of this rule do not apply to any movie theater that shows analog movies exclusively. And additionally, the compliance limitations under Title III of the ADA apply to this rulemaking, and thus the rule makes it clear that movie theaters do not have to comply with the rule's requirements if compliance would result in an undue burden or a fundamental alteration. For more information about this rule or the ADA in general, you can go to their website, ada.gov, or call the ADA information line. It's 800-514-0301. Well, now a quote to end this program today comes from Susan Sontag. She says, "I haven't been everywhere, but it's on my list." Susan Sontag was an American author, writer, filmmaker, teacher, an impassioned advocate for the avant-garde. She's an intellectual with style. She was born in 1933 in New York City, died in 2004 in New York City. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.